Martin's satisfaction.
Thank you. I haven't done it formally, but this is my first meeting, so I'm quite sure some of the questions that you might want to have answers to. But I'm aware that there are three issues that have been outstanding that give you some cause for consternation, so I'll give you an update or contextualise. So I'm aware that the Sandown practice presented a problem to you. I can confirm that the GP was appointed in August. There's been a lot of work trying to increase their capacity, and that they hope that they'll be able to start taking patients in the next quarter. However, this conversation has been sort of overtaken by the topic of this meeting, which is all about recruitment and retention. My time on the island to date, I've spent a lot of time visiting GP practices, visiting locality meetings and others, and I've not got a heat map yet of where the problems are, but the island has a problem with recruitment and retention for GPs. And if we don't sort those issues out, then Sandown will not be the last practice that has problems. So what are we doing about that? Well, there's a number of things that we're doing. So not only visiting practices, but also understanding what we need to do to retain GPs. So whilst I've got a lot of time being spent talking to GPs, finding out the issues that they have got, of which there are very, very many, there is a series of meetings that we're having across the localities to really get under the skin of what's working in primary care and what isn't. I started to share this with the LCB, so I'm sharing it with members of the council, sharing it with all stakeholders. And there will be an all-island meeting on the 8th of November, where I've asked for each of the GP practices to, where if possible, close around about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Some GPs will continue to operate, advanced nurse practitioners will continue to provide services, and services will be provided by the out-of-hours 111 service. But then we're going to use that time to agree upon what are the priorities to support recruitment and retention. There are 10 GPs in training on the island. We've spoken to them. Around about 6 or 7 said that they wanted to stay, but they have issues. They have issues around partnership, partnership model of employment, so mm-hmm. How do we fix that? Some of them have issues around transport, and I'm not going to rehearse that one for you. And there's other multifactorial issues that Maggie, I'm sure, is contending with from the hospital perspective as well. So just to let you know that there is a considerable amount of work and money which we've been given by NHS England, some £400,000, to try to address some of these issues. I've also asked for there to be much more precise work undertaken around our workforce and when they're likely to retire. Because I think at the moment there's about 5 or 6 that are likely to retire in the next 12 months. Conversations I'm having with practices is that there may well be more. And so even if we're able to recruit 5 or 6, that's keeping us at the status quo rather than using capacity. So again, we'll look at how we might use technology services to augment that, and how we might be able to bring in locals from across the Hampshire and Argyll partnership as well. And so we've got the GP Federation working with the GP Federations and practices on the mainland as well. So I'll come back to you with a more definitive work plan around what we're doing in primary care, because there is a considerable amount of work that needs to be done, and it will place at risk all of the other things that we're talking about if we do not address that as a matter of priority. The second issue was around autism. And again, it's one of those services that, unfortunately, we were able to continue with. I think Maggie has given a very frank appraisal of the challenges that she confronts as the head of the hospital, where we have people who, for a variety of reasons, are no longer able to continue to provide that service. The autism service, I apologise in public on behalf of CCG for the manner in which the service was closed, and actually I'm now quite pleased that we've got a solution, but not a full solution to the autism service. So we have commissioned alternative providers. They are providing services right now. There are about 480 patients awaiting assessment. They are being triaged, so you know, are we making sure that the right people are having that care? There is some form of clinical triage being undertaken by the hospital to make sure that those people with the highest level of need are being seen earlier, although there is a balance there to be had because everybody believes that they are a priority for this type of assessment. And as you've already heard, I guess, in the media, that some of these are face-to-face assessments and some of them are online assessments. 50 online assessments have been commissioned that are being filled at this moment in time. Those online assessments elsewhere in the country have been found to be 99% correlating to face-to-face assessments, and families and their children are being given the choice. So obviously the online assessment is going to be quicker, but if the family wants to wait, then they can wait for a face-to-face assessment. But as I say, that 99% correlation means that the two services should be giving the right answer for the people who need those answers. I've also suggested that if some people aren't able to wait, because we're not going to get the backlog until around June or July next year, then what are the other options? And the only other option that we have at this moment in time is to send patients to the mainland, and that would probably be to Great Ormond Street, because this is a national problem that we have at the moment, where the capacity to deal with autism referrals is insufficient to meet demand. One of the things that does concern me is why are we having 5 or 6 referrals per week into an autism service, which is 15% of the annual level of births on the island, where the national prevalence for autism is 1.1%. So I'm actually also looking at why is it that we're having so many referrals into the autism service, because maybe there's something not quite right there. I don't have the answer to that, but I asked for the Hampshire Island Wide Partnership that I'm a member of to provide us with some expertise to have our referral pathways so that we can just confirm whether those pathways are the right ones or whether they're being overutilised. I'm not going to comment any further on that because I'm not clinically qualified to do so. And then the final thing I wanted to share with you was around capability and capacity review. I think it's fair to say that the CCG has not engaged as effectively as it needed to be in the past. I've given Councillor Nicholson a copy of the recommendations, and I've been utterly transparent in terms of where we're at and what we need to do. I've shared that with staff and I've shared it with stakeholders. So there is, as far as I'm concerned, no secrets that we need to retain. The CCG did not discharge all of its duties as effectively as they would have wanted to have done. We're now part of the broader partnership across the country and Isle of Wight. That is already starting to pay dividends to the island. So, for example, we are bringing in additional expertise to support. So I've already referenced the fact that the same thing we need to do around primary care, and I'm bringing in some project management experts from the mainland who have expertise in particular areas that are going to support us, similarly in mental health services as well. And then we've also started to do quite a lot of work in support of Maggie and the hospital around their strategy. And we've also agreed to have a single financial recovery plan. And why is that important? It's important because actually the island is spending more money than it currently gets. We don't need to have arguments about where does that deficit sit. It's an island deficit. We need to work together to mitigate that. So as we are now in the full open book accounting arrangement with the hospital and other partners as well, we're demonstrating as a CCG that if there is money on the island to be spent, then where is it being spent? Is it being spent effectively? We'll be putting forward proposals to be as effective and efficient as we possibly can, but at the same time reduce expenditure on duplication where that's happening. And I know that there are lots of patients in settled to the mainland, and we're having double running costs in some areas that we're looking at. So I think adding to that the Cardinal Farrell work that's already been referred to, I'm hoping that by Christmas time there will be a crystallisation of many of the clinical strategies that we've been talking about for some time, with a piece of work that starts to describe what we can do around improving the finances, and then how we best start to engage with our GPs and other partners in developing the plans for implementation. And then the final bit I'd like to add is that what we're also trying to do, what we are doing, is engaging many of our GP practices and our stakeholders and our partners, hopefully in a much more engaging way, in order for us to actually listen to the issues that they've got and then to respond to them, rather than coming up with the answer they're asking and not expecting them to go that journey with us. That's my report.
Martin, thank you for what I think it's fair to say is probably the most meaningful and encouraging engagement we've had from the CCG this committee since I can remember, and anything else. It strikes me that you're the sort of person that delivers, Martin, as well, so we look forward to seeing these improvements. Thank you very much. We don't need to discuss our work plan now. Thank you for staying all this long time, everybody who's bothered to take the trouble to come along, and thank you for your questions, thank you for your answers, and I hope we've had a constructive meeting.